Do you want to relax? Are you having trouble sleeping or focusing? CBD reduces anxiety, chronic pain, seizures, PTSD, depression. Try our CBD gummies or chocolates. You will be very satisfied. Visit cbdcollections.net. 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 Hello, everyone. Welcome to another conversation. Today, we have an award-winning author, Kwame. He's a prolific writer, entrepreneur, trainer, mentor, and orator. In this book, he wishes to share. In writing this book, he wished to share a pivotal time in his journey and the lessons he learned. He loves helping others to share and enjoy his life experiences and aims to empower others in this way. He is a passionate for great chocolate and is a qualified football referee, certified trainer and mentor. Learn and lean in and drink deeply from the wisdom he is about to share. My co-host, Chris Daly, will be doing the interview. So take it away, Chris.
Wow, what an introduction. Welcome, Brother Kwame, to our conversation.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Well, yeah, with such an illustrious interview, let's delve beyond that and to see how do you get to this great status that you are. Give us a little taste of your Jamaican roots.
Okay, I was born in the UK, came out to Jamaica with my father and my brother. He brought us back to Jamaica very young. I was very young, probably about 7 years old. I thought I had turned off my phone. So I came back very young. Ended up living in Jamaica for a while. You know, went to school, worked, and then went back to the UK to complete my studies in terms of getting, because I didn't get enough subjects in high school. So the best the option that I had was to go back to the UK, which would at the time they were able to fund someone get a qualification by giving away money like grants for free. So my father's Jamaican and I grew up in Jamaica and Jamaica's always been my life. Jamaica's always been my heart, you know. So
okay.
After living away for a while, I decided to come back home, you know.
Yeah. So what parish are you from and what was growing up there like?
My father's from Portland and my mother's from St. Catherine. But I personally grew up in Kingston, you know. So they met in England, and that's how my brother came about. But I was always living in Kingston, and it's been I love Jamaica, you know. Even when I went away, I was always coming back home. So my friends would always say to me, "Why are you going to come home?" I said, "Yeah, Mama, come home. When I'm ready, I'll come home." So I've traveled and all that kind of stuff, worked away, and decided that the time to come home, especially after COVID years, you know.
This is great. So you clearly, you know, you spent some of your formative years in Jamaica, and then you migrated back to the UK.
Yeah.
How was going back and forth between those two cultures like for you?
It wasn't a problem because it's a matter of being yourself anywhere you are. So for me, it was basically just knowing who I am and actually having that opportunity to learn what I thought of, which I did. So for me, it was about always being present as a Jamaican, because I was never one to give up my culture, give up who I am. I was always present, knowing who I am as a Jamaican, because I don't know anything else, even though I was born in the UK. But for me, it was never a problem switching, and I always knew that being in the UK was never home, even though I was born there. You know what I mean? Because Jamaica has always been in Jamaica. Even from a very young age, when I came to Jamaica at that age, I didn't know anything about Jamaica, obviously, because I'm young. well, growing up and then making the attachments and having the roots, my roots here. I going back to the UK, I realized that the UK was never going to be my home. So Jamaica has always been in me, and Jamaica has always been a part of me, you know?
In your DNA.
Yes, it is.
So you're a man of so many talents, multi-talented guy, but we're going to be talking about your writing skills tonight. How did you discover that talent?
Well, writing discovered me. The beautiful thing is, at the time, growing up in Jamaica, and even now, you're encouraged to write from a very young age. You're encouraged to write poems, you're encouraged to write essays and compositions. So in primary school, that was something that we all did. When into high school, I didn't pursue it at all. As a matter of fact, even though I was in the art class, really, because we had different types of classes. You had a business class in terms of the different grades, and you had arts and you had sciences. I was in arts. Even then, I didn't recognize that. As a matter of fact, I didn't do any writing in high school. So it's only when I left and returned to the UK to continue my studies, to begin studying again. It was, I was working in a government office, actually, in the civil service. Someone had approached me to do a poem. I just out of the blue, and I said, yeah, man, I can write your poem. They wanted a personalized poem for a loved one. And I ended up doing that. And that's basically how it started. You know, that when I got it back, they enthused, and then more people started coming to me. I said, you know what, I'm probably good at this thing. So I continued doing poetry. You know, that's how I actually started. I ended up doing a lot of sending poetry into competitions and I won awards. Back in the day, and then I decided to do longer prose. I started to do longer works, and that's really how it started. It really started by someone saying to me, if I knew how to write a poem and I wanted to do a poem for a loved one, and that's just how it started. And then, yeah, it's continued from there. You know, it's continued from.
Set that
hobby.
Pen of yours on fire.
Yeah, exactly, and it was just a hobby at the time. It was just a hobby until. Yeah. I had my experience of being in that place, you know, and that's when the revelation came that I'm good at what I was doing, but there's something more that I need to give, what my life purpose was or is.
But here it is. It's probably like writing a love poem is one issue, but writing a story like you've just written here, listen to the title of the book, people, My Date with Depression. You know, you're to love, but a date with depression.
Yeah.
Come on, Tommy. How did you come to write about such a challenging topic?
Exactly. Well, you see, like I said, back in 2000, because I had migrated to Canada, and in 2006, 2007, because I had ended up getting a situation where I had got a lot of money, invested it, lost it, and that was what caused me to go into a state of depression. Because I didn't know, you know, how to pay back creditors and all that kind of stuff. And it was obviously internalizing all that stress caused me to go into a depressive state. And it was while I was going through that experience that, because I didn't know it was that, what I was in it, I didn't know that what it was I was in, you know, or that experience that I was going through. And it was my cousin and people around me who were starting to see the abnormality in my behavior. And they're the ones who identified what I was going through. And I think it was only after I went through that experience, and I can go into detail about the experience itself. It was years later that when I was reflecting on where I was, I realized what it was. And it was whilst I was reflecting, something came to me and said, it was like, you know, going out on a date with a girl. You know, you're going out, like you're going out with someone, and that's what it was. I was going out with depression, really. And that's how the title came. The subtitle was done, came about from my ex-girlfriend, actually. She's the one who helped me create the subtitle. And but the actual title itself came to me and said, that's what you had. You had a date with depression, like a date with a woman or a date with a girl. It was the same sort of process, you know, and that's how the title came. And it was an inspired title, you know.
Okay. And you also have the subtitle, as you said, your ex-girlfriend came up with, folks, it's From Mental Uncertainty to Self-Fulfillment. What was the promise of such a subtitle?
It was, and that's the thing, because when you're in that space, you're mentally ill, right? So you're mentally uncertain. You're the things around you, like I said, your behavior and being in that space, you impact other people. You know what I mean? People who love you. And it was being in that space that, you know, like I said, when I was having a discussion with her, and when she saw it, when I was coming up with the title and everything else, and I was trying to find a subtitle, and she said, this is what it was, because she saw, she could actually, even though she was no one who went through that experience with me, that was with another ex-girlfriend of mine who actually had a heavily influence in terms of me finding myself. But this one, she actually saw the title and said, no, this is what you can cause, because she read a story and she said, this was done. I said, you know what? That sounds like a good subtitle. And that's how the subtitle came about, the short discussion that we had. And it is self-fulfilling, because going through that experience and coming out at the other end, I can actually say that I've self-actualized where I am today based on the experiences that I've been through, or being that particular experience that I had. So the self-fulfillment came, you know, because it actually is a self-fulfillment. I've no attained, I've no acquired, I've no achieved, and I'm self-fulfilled in that sense.
You framed it very well, you know, that you can see yourself on a journey of self-fulfillment. But a lot of times when people are in depression, they really don't have that kind of way of framing, but at least you have some supportive people in your life to help you frame that.
Exactly.
But it also took a lot of courage, especially for men, to come to terms with something this challenging.
For sure.
How did you drum up the courage to be able to write something and to be that vulnerable?
Yeah, well, I would say I cheated, actually, because I'm a writer. For me, but I hadn't actually written anything about myself in regards to my life story, my life journey. There's only two stories. Well, one story, a short story that I did that I won a prize for, which is in one of my short story books, Deep Root Strong Tree. And that story was the only personal story that I've ever written about myself or what I had experienced as a child. So I was reflecting. I said, you know what? I've never actually written anything about myself in regards to my journey. And that part of my journey was very pivotal in terms of which direction I would end up or which direction I would go. So I said, let me write about that particular experience. And that's basically how it happened. I wrote the story on the experience that I went through, like I said, 2005, 2006, 2007. And I wrote the entire story in 2015. So that's how long it took for it to come out, really. And even then, it was something that I had written and I had lost the manuscript. And it's only when I realized, I only refound it when I was looking at Facebook and I had sent it to a friend of mine, a male friend of mine, and because the USB stick that I had was corrupted. And I sent it, and I realized that I had sent it to a male friend of mine, and I said, oh, wow, look, this is the book that I've written, and I didn't know. And that's really how it, and I said, I'm supposed to put this book out now, because I refound it. I relocated it, and I said, because I was looking for it, but like I said, the stick that I had was corrupted and it got lost. And it was just by chance that I was looking at his name and saw that I had sent him an attachment of the manuscript. And I downloaded it, 2015, and then said, you know what, I'm putting this out to print. And that's exactly how it happened. You know,
incredible.
So I said, this is now the time for it to come out. And yeah, and what I have realized in my journey is that you're right, you're correct. We don't talk about this stuff as men. You know, I mean, it's coming, it's changing. It's changing, and I'm glad that it is. And I guess I'm one of the first to actually write an experience as a Black African Caribbean man about that journey. I guess I'm one of the first. It was birthed at the right time.
Okay, neat. So you wrote this masterpiece here. Take us inside of it a little and kind of give us a sense of how you organize telling the story.
Okay, well, it's organized in a way where, and like I said, I lived in Canada. Canada happened for a reason. I didn't realize it at the time. And like I said, I migrated to Canada because when I migrated to Canada, it was basically for set up a business with two other partners. One of the other partners couldn't get in because he was Pakistani, but the other one wasn't able to leave the UK yet. So I was the first one. I went. And then from there on, it's almost like everything was cataloged, that was signposted for me to go through this particular journey. Like I said, I got a lot of money from the bank, invested a lot of it into property, into businesses, lost it, you know, based on the type of partners I had at the time, and how that was sabotaged, and then going into the state of depression. And then it was those around me who identified or saw what I was going through. And the book itself catalogs those experiences. You know what I mean? It catalogs the reason why I went into state of depression. It catalogs the things that happened or the processes that happened that enabled me to start healing. it, and that and within that in itself is a lot of conflict. So it's conflict with, for example, in conflicts in terms of growing up, what happened in terms of relate the trauma that I childhood trauma that I experienced as a child. It talks about religion and it talks about going to the motherland, going to Africa. So it's all these things that catalog that experiences within the book. And as you go along, you'll see the transition or the movement of how I move from one state to the next. And within the book itself, at the end, it actually gives tips on how someone can, because it's also a self-help book, because along the way, there's parts of the book where people can actually write about their own journey and, taking them along.
So if you would give, what would be the three, you know, for the folks who are going to be taking this, giving the way for gifts already for the holidays coming up, could you, what are some of the three takeaways you would suggest that you aim at giving people?
Takeaways, I would say, probably internal, because I think I had eight tips in the book. One is talk, especially for men, talk, because we don't talk. And when I say talk, I mean going really deep, finding more than likely sometimes it needs to be another male. Somebody who's a male who is rounded, who's grounded, who's holistic in his own approach and how he move. And some people probably go to the state of saying how moving a spiritual earth away. So it's finding an individual like that. Somebody who is not caught up in the hype, so to speak. Somebody who's grounded, like I said. And then being able to be open and honest. You know what I mean? That is, and that also comes being open and honest with yourself first. You know what I mean? Being open and honest and understanding why you're in this particular space, talking about it. Because like I said, as men, we don't talk and we tend to internalize the pain. So that's the first thing I would say, talk. The second thing I would say is write, because writing and especially journaling, it helps in regards to the healing process. Writing is great therapy. You know what I mean? Writing enables us to expel. You know what I mean? And for us to examine and to reflect and to say, you know what? I'm in this space. What is it that I want? Because as we know in the Bible, what's called the Bible, the first thing was in the beginning was the word. So obviously that means writing is the most important thing in humankind development. So writing is important. And then the last thing I would say is also creating space or creating time for reflection and time to meditate. So that kind of, and meditate doesn't mean closing your eyes and sit down and go, meditate means basically having the ability to just go for a walk. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially around, like, I'm fortunate enough to be in the Caribbean. So, like, a lot of greenery, sea or water, because that helps with the healing process, a river, walking by these things and being still. You know what I mean? So, those are the three main things I would say is the ability to talk, is to write, and to have the time to reflect in the space where you can stop and be able to be still and to look within.
This is powerful, Kwame. So how would people go and find this fine work of yours?
All right, so the book is available on it's a platform like Amazon. It's available on Amazon. It's lulu.com, it's lulu.com. And it's Lulu. Search my day with depression and they'll find it, you know? But all it's right. Also, like I said, it's also accompanied on Amazon, but I try to show channel people to my shop window on Lulu, but there's more works on Lulu than there are on Amazon.
So Lulu, put in your name and Lulu, and then
Lulu.com. Very simple, Lulu.com, lulu.com, and do a search on my date with depression and find all.
You want to spell your name out just to make sure that they get that too.
All right, so the name is Kwame, Kwame, MacPherson, MacPherson.
Kwame McPherson at Lulu.
Yeah, and I'll find all my words.
Good. So the topic is so pregnant with possibilities. Have you given any word of turning some of this into like a workshop for those who may not have the strength to do that?
Yeah. Funny enough, I'm looking to roll out some workshops in the new year because I've done workshops before.
Yeah.
Because I was in transition, heading back to the Caribbean, that kind of stuff. I haven't done any workshops for a while in terms of my deal with depression, especially around depression, I should say. But I'm looking to do that now to roll out those for the new year. I also have other writing, the workshops around writing and enabling people how to write and that kind of stuff. So there's two different types of workshops that I'm going to be having organized and arranged for the new year. And there will be around depression and there will be around enabling people to write. Because writing, like I said, writing is a therapy. And that will lead on to You know, like I said, the workshops themselves will probably be specified or specific to men in particular, because I really think that we need that kind of space and forum more than anything else. And the writing workshops is just a general. So yeah, so some people can look out for that in the new year. Plus, I'm coming up with a new website and that kind of stuff.
That's really fantastic, Kwame. We know you're on the tier here. You've written a lot of stuff. Do you want to even whisper to us what's next in your lively pen?
All right. Well, sure. I was also recently awarded the Commonwealth Short Story Prize, which is for 2023, because it happens every year. So I recently won for the region, Caribbean, and I also won it internationally. So I won the Commonwealth Short Story Prize. Yeah, and I'm the first Jamaican to win the international prize. So that's huge in itself. And on the back of that, I've been invited to so many functions, media stuff, work, but the culmination of that is that I've been invited to Buckingham Palace. So, So that's a huge thing. And that's in the short term. So long term, short, medium term is I'm working with people to write their own stories in terms of books, because I'm also a book coach. And then long term, well, I've got my own material to come up with, so that people can look out for those.
Kwame and Charles.
Man, I don't know about that. Because funny enough, I've been invited by the Royal Commonwealth Society. And it's under the patronage of the Queen, who is Queen Camilla. So
okay. All right.
Yeah, there you go. So like I said, I'm supposed to be traveling tomorrow.
Well, I'm glad we got to talk to you before you get elevated.
Exactly. So I'm going to travel by tomorrow. So those are things. Those are exciting things. And like I said, there's always going to be something cropping up. Because for example, I recently concluded a tour called the Jamaica Poets Nomadic Tour. And what we did, we took poetry into schools and colleges. And so that just concluded on Friday. So that was also working with young people, enabling them through the spoken word, listening to their works. And it's been a phenomenal journey. So there's a lot of things, you know, that's going on that's happening.
This is really great, Kwame. So as we close, do you have any parting wisdom to our audience this evening?
Yeah, well, like I said, especially after the past two years and where we had COVID, and a lot of people struggled with their mental health. And the funny thing is, when we're going into the COVID and those 2 years, I said to myself, there's going to be a lot of people who will have challenges mentally, because we have never been in a situation where, you know, life stopped, really. We haven't had that. We've always been on the go from birth to death. Into the 20th century, the world hasn't been on the move. So really and truly, it would be a shock. And we're seeing the repercussions of that now. And I think for people who are struggling with their own mental health, like I said, this is what I suggested before, is take the time out to stop and to reflect where they've been, why they feel like they've been, what they're going through, and have someone to speak to, someone to talk to, you know what I mean? And also to read good books and to, you know, watch uplifting videos and that kind of thing. But obviously we know there's different levels of depression, but starting at the base, where it's really where the challenges come more so, because once you're in it, then it can get worse depending on what you do or don't do. You know what I mean? So I will say to anyone is that, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's easy experience, because it's not, but it's finding ways or methods that can enable someone to get out of that space, you know? Like I said, and the main thing is talking. I'm telling you, the main thing is talking.
Well, boy, if for the last few minutes you've been here and you've just enthralled us with a lot of wisdom. So folks,
thank you.
Get out. If you have a loved one who you know could use such a work, please get it in their hands. That's the best thing you can give to them. You're giving them life.
Yes.
So thank you for taking your pen and giving us life, Kwame.
Thank you. Yeah. There's more to come. There's more to come with it, actually, because I think it has still more to do with it.
Yeah. So to learn more about Kwame McPherson, visit info@authoritybrandbuilding.com. To learn more about Chris Daly, visit ChrisDaly360.com. To learn more about Jamaican diaspora, visit JamaicanDiaspora.com. Kwame, we really enjoyed you. We had you For our audience, this is our second interview with Kwame. So just look into the archives and you can hear the first one, but really support this one, this particular edition, because there's a lot of men who have kept silence and this is an outlet for them to get their feelings out. Thanks, Kwame. Bye
Thank
now.
You. Thank you for the interview.